You're listening to Signal to Noise on the ProSound Web Podcast Network, proudly sponsored by
Allen and Heath, introducing their new CQ series, a trio of compact digital mixers for musicians, bands, audio engineers, home producers, small venues, and installers that puts ease of use and speed of setup at the heart of the user experience.
RCF has just unveiled the new TT Plus audio brand, including the high-performance GTX series line arrays and the GTS 29 subwoofer. Be sure to check it out at rcf-usa.com.
Rational Acoustics, makers of SMART, the industry-leading acoustical test and measurement software. Rational Acoustics, rational people, smart products.
I wish I could break free, back to where I'm supposed to be.
You are listening to Signal to Noise on the ProSound Web Podcast Network. Woo! I did it. I'm your host, Katie Karch, and with me today is my co-host, Andy Levis.
What's up, y'all?
Hi, Andy.
Welcome back, Katie. We missed you while you were out at CFX.
Yes, I missed all of you too, except that I was in constant contact with you the entire time.
This overconnected future we live in.
Indeed.
Oh, it's indeed. So good for our mental health.
Yeah.
But
CFX was super fun.
Cool. Now, I was, we were chatting a bit and I think a little in the Discord, like, I knew the speaker shootout you were working on was like a bunch of systems, but I had no idea.
It's not a shootout.
Sorry. The speaker demo. sorry, legal department, the speaker demo.
It's not the legal department. It's just that's literally not what it is. Like physically, it's not a shootout.
It's a comparison.
It is a cool way to compare a lot of systems at once.
I was going to say describe, because that's the thing is like you told me afterwards that it had been 14 systems and that kind of broke my head because I thought maybe it was like 5 or 6. So like what is the whole deal with it? What was it?
Okay, so we had 7 manufacturers there. We had RCF, TW Audio, Innovox, Biamp, Alcons Audio, Electro Voice, and Rinkus Hines. Each of those manufacturers had a hanging array, and they also had a ground stack array. So that's 14 systems between 7 manufacturers. And what we did was, we would play the same 30-40 second piece of music through all of the ground stack arrays, and we would then play a different piece of music. So we went around, it was 3 times for the ground stacks and 4 different pieces of music for the arrays, and we would listen to them faster and faster around. So every manufacturer got to talk about what their product is and what's special about it and what sets it apart from all of, you know, the 13 other things in the room. And then we got to hear them really fast in a row. So you got to compare, if you stood there for, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it was, you got to hear 14 different sound systems all playing things that you could compare really well. Because the trick to it is that we set all of the SPL for all of the systems the same. The ground stack systems were set 5 dB lower than the arrays, just because it made sense for how the systems were driving. With the arrays, we wanted a little more oomph. So you could hear those systems all at the same volume, and then the manufacturers can put whatever EQ curve on it that they want. And then do whatever beam steering they have in mind and really show off what their system does well. So it's a lot. It moves very fast, and if you get distracted, like the whole thing kind of comes screeching to a halt, and everyone looks at you. That only happened once.
I'm gonna say that sounds almost like you like mixing a musical.
A little bit, yeah. And there's nothing quite like it. I think that if you ever get a chance, I know that the LSI loudspeaker demo has been shown at NAMM before. It's been shown at a couple of other places, and its home is really CFX. So if you ever get a chance to go see it, it's really something incredible.
So the one thing I got to know is who chooses the piece of music and which Steely Dan song was it?
We only, I don't know that we played a Steely Dan song, actually. We may have played one.
Sacrilege.
But Keith Clark, our editor-in-chief at ProSoundWeb, he was there to coordinate everything for LSI. He and I chose the music pieces together. And we had it in Sports Sounds Pro, so you just, like, we had, like, a bunch of different 30, 40-second cuts they've used before, because I didn't cut anything new. And we just used that when we decided what order they'd do well in, and, you know, making sure we had one male voice and one female voice, and trying to, you know, make sure that we really showed off the systems and what they were capable of.
That's awesome, and, like, sounds really well planned out. I've seen some speaker demos that were not that well planned out, and
it's a very cool thing. They've spent quite a few years working on all of it, you know. So they've got it dialed in. What have you been up to?
Oh, just lots of crazy. I mean, the big thing is I posted in the Discord and was telling you just before we started, we brought a new puppy home this week. So his name's Braille. He's a street rescue from the Bahamas because he's blind in one eye. So they named him Braille. And apparently he's about 2 years old, and he's been like in between like these two rescues for about a year and a half looking for his home. And like, we fell in love with him the minute we met him. He's an absolute sweetheart, although he's peeing all over the house right now out of nervousness and running around and learning slippery stairs a little bit. But that's been the big thing this week. A little bit of time off, did some programming for a corporate install that I can't say more about because NDAs, and did like a one day hurried prep and count for a theatrical show that's going into the venue that I've been basically the de facto house sound in for the last couple months. And we've got it's some sort of hybrid between like a musical and opera. There's a beatboxer, Bill T. Jones directed it, so there's all sorts of dance. It's going to be an interesting next month and a half.
Dude, awesome. That sounds awesome. And I'm really excited for your puppy. I'm glad that your puppy found a forever home.
Yeah, and he and Maya seem to be getting along well. They're off in the room next to me right now, kind of claiming out spaces on my bed.
Aw, that's sweet.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention, we use Smart SPL. Obviously, I mentioned RCF, and then I was on the Allen & Heath Avantis SCFX.
And we've hit the sponsor trifecta.
Ding. It was super cool. Those were all very awesome things to work with.
Nice. And this was your first time on that console, right?
Yeah, I had never been on Avantis before, and I think that you may have seen me in Discord. I was swearing a bit.
If you're not swearing at a console, are you even doing live sound?
I mean, probably not. I swear a lot, and I swear objects a lot.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to our guest.
Yeah, he's been sitting there so quietly. He's been making great faces, but we should let him talk.
I wish we recorded audio, video. I wish we recorded audio.
Yeah, we should probably take that box sometime and see if there's any snippets to record. Maybe one day we'll decide we're brave enough to actually post these to YouTube too.
Oh no, thank you. Not this week. I have enough to do. Our guest this week. this week we're talking to my friend David Stanton, who is I'm really lucky that he's my friend. He's a really cool audio engineer. He has his resume is awesome. Gosh, David, you've got me all tongue-tied, dude.
The thing I want to point out looking at this resume is, like, there's some consistency. Like, you've got a, like, particularly one band on there that you've been doing for, like, a solid decade, yeah?
I just don't know when to quit. I keep working, and they keep paying me.
That's often the goal.
Yeah. But you've got this really solid resume. You did a couple of years and in your hometown. You worked you went to SAE.
I did.
And then you just started working. You started touring in 2011. And it, along with that, you've worked in town in Nashville, which I think is really interesting because I think sometimes people think that once you go on the road, and this happens for people, you go on the road and then you go off and you're done. And then in Nashville, what's really popular is what's called a weekend warrior.
Yes.
And I think that is that what you get up to.
I was going to say for us Yankees up here in the Northeast, what is that?
So pretty much, you know, probably 60-70% of the year, I'd leave on a Thursday night on the bus, go do two shows, and come back on Sunday. Maybe it's three, maybe it's, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever's booked, but we're going, you know, doing a couple dates and coming back home so you can have a normal life at home still, but also, like, well, somewhat normal, but then be out on the road, get to do the fun things, do concerts all over, and then come back home.
That seems positively sane. Mm. Or at least as sane as the music business gets. We'll grade on the curve.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I like the idea. I like the idea of being somewhere stable, you know, a few days a week. Just like being home a few days a week, and then you still get to do all that fun travel and touring and all the things that we like about that. And then you get to go sleep in your bed half the week. That sounds like best of both worlds to me. Maybe I'm getting old.
I don't know how to say this, Katie. We're all getting old.
Yeah, I feel that. I've loved it. I knew that I wanted to do audio, like back in high school, like freshman year of high school. I wanted to be doing technical things behind the scenes, and you know, eventually that got me to Nashville, and eventually just trying to do as many audio things as possible.
I love that. That's awesome. So I didn't mean to jump all the way in there because I know that we talked about this and you have the coolest thing. I think you have the coolest thing that any of us will have in arm's reach. What do you have in arm's reach, dude?
So I do have the Break Free hat, the Mike Green Music Break Free hat on.
Yes.
It only feels a little weird wearing it at home. Like,
that's some solid OG Rutabaga energy right there.
At home looking, like talking to my computer, but I got it at episode 200 in Nashville.
Nice.
At the Hard Rock Cafe. But.
Nice.
It's
wild to me. I didn't meet you there.
It is. It really is. It's kind of ridiculous.
There weren't that many people in that room.
So, but.
It makes perfect sense that I didn't meet either of y'all there because I couldn't make it there.
But the current artist that I work for, we had to crossload trailers with all of our gear, which included some of our merch. And one of the boxes of old merch that we don't sell anymore is a like tour bus collectible. Dude. And so it is, I have a Tanya Tucker tour bus collectible to find out how old it actually is, like what era it, the bus looks like it's from the 70s.
Vintage.
It is so detailed.
It's so cool. Yeah. And it's like got some weight to it.
You have to post pictures of it on the Discord.
Ooh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
But it's like, it's kind of it's not like cheaply made. It's,
yeah,
when they still,
you know, that's giving me solid Hess truck vibes. Just cooler.
Yeah, yeah.
And is that what her bus looks like today?
No. We thankfully have upgraded slightly since the 70s.
I'm the size of it.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's a little bit bigger too. Yeah, yeah. I fit inside it instead of.
mentioning that you do mixed Tanya Tucker, I gotta ask, because there's all different, and we know there's all different rules and tests. There's the, well, we mentioned the tour bus.
Yeah, I did say Tanya. It's Tanya, by the way.
Tanya. Got it. Okay.
It's very important that it's Tanya and not Tanya.
Gotcha. My bad. So I was going to say, I got to ask, because there's all sorts of tests. There's the Turing test, the Bechdel test. I got to ask, working for her, can you pass the Gretchen Wilson test?
Wait.
Do you know all the lyrics to every one of her songs?
Oh, I didn't know where you were going with that until you said. I've only been working for like 4 or 5 months. I could probably sing along with a good half of the songs.
All right.
Yeah.
Does she change her set on you that much?
She changes her set moment by moment sometimes. She we'll have a set list for the show, and then on the fourth song, she'll go, nope, not doing that one, and jump to the next, and it's, oh, okay.
So it's like the Whose Line Is It Anyway of set list. Yeah. The rules are made up and the points don't matter.
Yes, the set list doesn't matter all that much. The flow of where it's going matters, but
yeah,
like I kind of know the vibe of where it's going, but then and then sometimes she'll like, oh, actually we're gonna add that song in now, and like,
and she's like, she's got a pretty hefty catalog at this point.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, she's been doing it for 52 years, I believe. Damn. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you know what though? Like sometimes, because I've had artists do that where it's like, okay, here's your set list, and then they're like, now we're gonna play something else. But you know, a set list is, I've always felt, a suggestion, unless you have a lot of automation and things happening, like having the band kind of go where they feel is like comfortable or what they want to do. Like that can be a lot cooler than trying to stay within the confines of, oh, we said we'd play this, so we're gonna do it.
Yeah, we're not, there's no like auto tune, so we don't have to like go song by song and key by key, you know, snapshots or anything.
She doesn't enter on a toaster lift.
yeah. So it's not necessarily imperative that we go exactly down the list. It's whatever she feels and however the mood strikes her. It's been a blast so far. So
nice. And so I'm assuming based on that, then like you're not programming the crap out of like every song on the console.
I'm just doing a set. You know. One show file,
right? And are you typically traveling consoles with her, or is it console du jour?
Yeah, no, we're carrying two Quantum 225s with our own stage racks and an analog split, so I don't even have to share gains.
Nice.
Super fancy.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who I was talking with. If it was like on an episode, if it was just in everyday life, about how many bands have started specking two different brands of console just to force an analog split.
Oh yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Oh, I mean, that's tricky.
I love the dirty trick for the episode. Is if you spec Alan and Heath and you spec Yamaha, you know what, we're gonna have to have an analog split. Nobody can cost effective that out.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh well, there you go.
Yeah, brought to you by the Department of Dirty Tricks.
So how did you get involved with a country music legend like Tanya Tucker?
Well, I had been working for a country band previous to Tanya, and I'd been working for them for about a decade and loved them, loved getting to work for them, but at some point was, I don't know, looking for something new, something different, something to achieve and tackle and learn, and had worked a couple shows here and there helping out other folks, and one of my buddies that I knew that worked also doing, you know, kind of both things, working on the road and at a bar, said, hey, we need a new front of house guy for Tanya. Are you interested? And that weekend, I was not available. Little Texas had a show. And so, sorry, hey, can't do it. But I recommended a buddy who then like ended up recommending me on a weekend that I could, like, hey, he really would be interested. And so they came back to me again and like, hey, are you interested? And I was like, we can do a trial run this weekend. And after that weekend, it was this history. So yeah,
that's awesome. And it's awesome when like friends look out for each other like that. That's great.
Yeah, it was super nice. They were very like, I think they had more faith in me than I did at the moment. Like they were, we know you're the guy to do it. And I'm like,
sometimes you need that.
What?
That sounds familiar to me about you.
Like I appreciate that you think I can do it, and I think I'm doing a great job now. But in the moment of, okay, it was my first time actually getting daily driver time on a Digico at all. I'd done one-offs here and there, but it was it was kind of a bigger leap.
Powerful, but they have a steep learning curve.
Yeah. And so thankfully, the previous run of house engineer was actually still on the tour. He went from front of house to playing the drums. They had a drummer.
If that ain't the most like Nashville thing ever.
They had the drummer ended up departing the group, and they had a split second decision to make, and the front of house guy's like, I'll do it. Have the local sound guy mix the show. And he knew all the songs already, and he was he's such a great drummer that he just fit right in with the band. And so Tanya was like, well, I guess I need to find a new sound guy. And so ultimately ended up with me joining the crew. So,
well, that's cool. And when did that happen?
That was end of May, June-ish. I did a trial weekend. Maybe it was the like second week in May that I did a trial weekend with them. And then my first official weekend, because I did one more like finishing weekend with the previous band. And then my first official start weekend was two nights at the Ryman with Tanya in Nashville. Wow. So
push you right out of the nest and see if you can fly.
No big deal. Just come in and mix two nights at the Mother Church of Country. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really
and,
cool.
And for one of the where we said the high priestesses.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah. No pressure at all. So.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah.
You know, I get nervous about that too. Like I was so nervous to be on on Avantis. Like I downloaded the offline editor and I had the manual out and I was trying my hardest to learn everything. And luckily I had someone right next to me who had done the show a bunch of times before. And he walked over and went, okay, and went really fast and went, there's your show file. And I went, but I wanted to do it.
that's been a big learning curve for me, because like transitioning to like a house engineer role for the time being and like doing a bunch of like almost festival style shows where like I'm mixing like 80% of the bands, but then somebody will come in with an artist and we've got a Ravage as the house console, which is relatively new. So it's like figuring out that balance of letting them get settled and figure their way around, but knowing when to jump in and help.
Yeah, definitely. There it can, and not to say that I wasn't grateful that whole thing went faster, but I felt like I missed a learning opportunity, and so I went back and made sure to figure out what had happened and was able to recreate it myself, because if something went wrong and he wasn't standing there, then I'm still responsible, you know.
Yep, makes so. Perfect sense.
Yeah,
you're a wise one, Katie Karch.
I could be the wise one to you two ding dongs.
Oh yeah, I guess with Sean out, I shift into the king ding dong seat. She's like, maybe crown prince ding dong,
vice chancellor,
associate vice chancellor.
David, I lost my
train. Yes.
Yes. We were talking about Tanya and how you got that, and it wasn't that long ago. But before that, you were with Little Texas for like a decade.
Yeah, I did that thing. They were awesome. I really loved working for them. 90s country group. We played in Texas a lot. I don't know why.
Weird. We should investigate that.
Yeah.
There's got to be a connection somehow.
Yeah. Somehow, some way. God blessed Texas a lot with Little Texas. But yeah, it's their biggest song.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I appreciate you explaining for the Yankee.
Well, for the Yankee up there. Yeah. I'm from Indiana originally. So like moving down to Tennessee the first time, like I was talking to somebody, they're like, oh, you're a Yankee. I'm like,
no.
Okay.
It's like I live in Westchester.
That's not how that works.
I live in Westchester, New York, which is like 45 minutes out of the city, and there's like 6 hours of New York above me. Yet Manhattanites are like, "Oh, you moved upstate."
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, okay.
I would never have thought of you as a Yankee, David. I would have said that you were Midwestern.
I mean, that's what I said, but there's some faction of people in Nashville that when you say Indiana, they think Yankee.
I don't know. There's probably a whole Mason-Dixon line.
I was going to say, do I have to look up where the Mason-Dixon line is?
I definitely don't know. My geography
is bad. It's not Billy Joel level bad, where he's got like the song line about east and west of the Rio Grande, yet the Rio Grande runs east and west, but I'm a close second. Yeah, I was going to say, my knowledge of Indiana is limited to Sweetwater and marching bands.
Oh, yeah. It's you can add corn and soybeans to that list pretty much done. There's not a whole lot else.
I had a friend who joked about areas like Indiana and Kansas that they're the land of opportunity if you're a tractor.
He's not wrong. They are not wrong.
There is one interesting thing in Indiana, at least, and that would be AKD Audio Solutions.
Yes. So, it's kind of a little bit of a story.
I love stories. COVID, it's story time.
During COVID, there was not a whole lot of audioing to be done.
Is that right?
Me and a couple buddies ended up doing a lot of driving DoorDash and Uber Eats. And I would talk to my best friend from back home and our other buddy, and we'd be on the phone for hours just making money, delivering food to people. And then as shows kind of came back, I didn't have to do that anymore, but had a little chunk of money because I wasn't spending any. It's a wonderful time of not spending way too much money. And our old boss, I worked for a small sound company back home before moving to Nashville, and he was kind of getting up there in age and ready to get out of the business, and kind of seemed like the perfect time, perfect storm for us to come in and make an audio company. So my friends Alan and Kenny and the D from David, I know it's amazing how that works, made AKD Audio Solutions, doing shows in the local Lafayette, Indiana area, and having a blast with it. I actually just got back home today from being up there working a show. So
what was it like? Was it a corn maze?
Wow, close. Katie, wow. I mean, it is that time of year. It is definitely that, like,
that is fair.
It is definitely that time of year. But no, we were, so Lafayette, Indiana is right across the river from West Lafayette. Purdue University is there. And we did kind of a private event for the president of the school had like four Ukrainian students. I think some of them were some post-grad, grad students, talking about their relationship to the Lafayette area and to their schooling, and also how it relates to like the globe, their experience from being from Ukraine and dealing with life with the conflict over there. So yeah.
Oh wow. That's not a corn maze.
That's not a corn maze.
Nor is it a pumpkin blaze.
Yeah.
That's deep, bro.
Yeah. So it was a another gig. It was fun.
Yeah. Another gig.
Doing audio.
Another dollar.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the best part, right? Is doing the audio.
For sure.
Hi, Andy. He just got up out of his chair. That's really cool that you guys are doing that. So is that the type of work that you do? Is that like contracting to universities and more corporate stuff? Or do you do more of like the hometown festival type of thing?
So yeah, we're doing a little bit of everything. I think we wouldn't mind getting into more of those kind of, it was almost corporate audio kind of thing at the university, but then also We do a street festival in Lafayette called Mosey Down Main Street. It's a blast. We do two of the like three or four stages that they have, having bands from like 6 o'clock to 11. And then we're working on some other, live events that we may be picking up next year. And we do some installs. We've been installing things in church, audio and computers and projectors and all the things that go along with like production in churches, and doing some trainings as well. So,
that's a world I know well, having just left working in installs a few months back.
Yeah.
I like that you mentioned the training. I think it's really important that when you install a system that you make sure to train the people who are going to use it, because,
Oh, for sure.
It's not always something they'd be intimately familiar with.
Yeah, so many churches having volunteers, just they can push faders, but if you give them a little bit more know-how and help them really get a better result for everybody involved. Absolutely. So, yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of things do you teach them? Do you just say this is the on button and then press, push it up?
Yes.
Or do you try to,
that's it.
Obviously you probably leave, the instruction manuals and things like that behind, but when you're working with them one-on-one, do you if they show interest, do you try to teach them this is a preamp and this is what this does?
Or a little bit into the signal flow. Like here's how you if you need more in the monitor for, if they have a band, making that all happen. Getting them to be better use their computer if they're live streaming. Like, hey, make sure that everything's routed the right way to get to the live stream. Because there was a lot of that, especially after COVID lockdown stuff, actually having live streams everywhere. So, yeah.
Yep. COVID and working in installs got me way more familiar with TriCasters than I ever thought I would be.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's always the fun challenge with installs and training too, is figuring out how to tailor it to the level the user's at, because you get such a wide range.
Yeah.
I remember doing a performing arts center a couple of years back and walking in, and my boss and I walked in and thought we were going to be there for an hour or two. It was going to be a nice quick, here's how your system works. And we had another service call scheduled that afternoon, and these two dudes show up and we're like, hey, just help us patch on the console. Start handing them cables. And you're you're familiar with Dante. And they looked us dead in the face and said, who's Dante and what time is he showing up?
Oh,
and
boy.
We're we're going to need to cancel that service call this afternoon. This is a very different training than we thought we were doing.
Yeah.
Which isn't, there's nothing wrong with that. It was just there was a communication that should have happened before this that had not happened. So we're going to pivot real quick.
Yeah, dang.
Nice. Glad you were... Well, just stick around for that, man. I know that sometimes you don't have time. And especially when the phone's ringing for other service, if you've left a system behind, somebody's calling you while you're trying to train one person and going, hey, I don't understand this thing. And you're like, well, why did you press that in the first place?
Cue awkward silence. So, should we rewind a bit? And you sort of briefly touched on, how you got into music, but do you want to dive deeper a little into that and how you got your career started?
Oh man, I had a crappy rock band back home in Indiana.
Nice.
And I enjoyed playing, but I way more enjoyed playing guitar. My mom has 3 degrees in music, and so forced me to play piano from first grade. Hated it. Now, to my right, there is a keyboard right here. There is an electric piano right now, because moms end up being right. But
have you told her?
Well, I might have. I actually might.
Mom, you were right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going back home next week, so I'll tell her again if I haven't already. But played guitar, sang, was in choir growing up the whole time, and then started getting into getting my own sound system. And the first time that I bought a little mixer and two speakers and I plugged it in and turned it all the way on and went, why is there no audio? And go, oh, you have to have a power amp. And like, having a band and then growing and learning and figuring out, getting better. So I ended up doing that and way more enjoyed being behind the scenes than actually in front of people.
Same dude.
Yeah. I was gonna say, there are a lot of people who feel that story listening right now.
Yeah. So, but after that, you know, moved to Nashville, convinced my parents that doing audio was a real job. They were not completely sure that it existed until I went to trade school and then didn't come back home asking them for more money. So, well, very often, anyway.
Dude, right? It can be rough out there.
Yeah.
So you went to trade school. What trade school did you go to?
I went to SAE. It's here in Nashville, right on Music Row, or what's left of it anyway. And it was primarily a recording school, at least at the time. I've been back in a while, but I enjoyed it. I also knew that I wanted to do live from the get-go. And so
now we understand why you and Katie get along.
Oh yeah.
It sounds a lot like Katie's origin story.
Yeah. Like there was no chance that I wanted to actually be in a studio and fix an audio track. I like it cold. I like living in.
See, for me, it was always the constant living in an ashtray.
Oh yeah.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. But, I just had no interest in being, you know, listening to the same song 1,000 times. I'd rather, you know, enjoy live, the pressure of live, and then be done with it and go on to the next one. So,
yeah. Well, you know, you're about to hit the perfect storm of those two things because you're about to mix a musical, which is hearing the same song over and over, night after night after night, in the same exact order. And that fun thing that Tanya does where she throws out the set list, you can't do that.
It's true. It'll be an interesting thing for me. I have not done musicals all that often, but it's working for our company, AKD, back home. We're doing this Broadway musical called Something's Rotten.
Oh, nice.
At Wabash College. So it's like half an hour, 45 minutes away from my hometown. So we'll...
That's fun. That show is based on Shakespeare, right?
Is it?
Vaguely-ish. It's a send-up. It's a satire.
Okay.
From what I did not manage to see it when it was running, but it is supposed to be hilarious, so...
Sweet.
I think you'll have a blast.
I'm looking forward to it. I also get to study up on this Behringer wing back here because that's what I'm using to run it for the next week and a half. So I get to figure out how snapshots work.
I'm trying to remember. Does Theater Mix support the wing?
I don't know.
Because if it does, it might be worth a look. That may make your life a lot easier if it does.
Okay. Yeah, we may have to talk offline about that one. I was going to say,
hit me up and hit the Discord because we've got a bunch of us theater folk in there who are happy to help you or anybody listening too. If you're diving into theater mixing, like I'm around Kevin McCoy, who until recently mixed one of the Hamilton tours, is a regular in the Discord.
And I don't have their fancy resumes, but I've done my fair share.
Yeah. I've mixed a show or two on a wing, but like for the band, not...
Oh, I've never touched a wing in my damn life.
Yeah, it'll be...
I have no idea how, like, I would be learning right along with you, which I don't mind doing, by the way.
Okay, come on over.
Yeah, this is, the only wings I've touched are buffalo.
Amazing.
Gotta hit my dad joke quota every episode. It's in my contract.
Absolutely. Amazing.
So I wanted to get back to this whole Weekend Warrior thing because I first of all, we met working at the same little blues bar down in Primrose Alley that I talked about on my my guest spot episode.
Yes.
And yay for that bar, by the way. I just love it there.
It's such a lovely place.
It's a cool spot, man. But you do sound for, I mean, Little Texas is nothing to sneeze at. And Tanya is obviously, like I said, a legend. And then during the week we work at the same bar. So, why do we work at the same bar, dude?
I love that bar. Me too. Part of it was kind of like working on my chops. So like right out of trade school, that was kind of the first place that I was working. Like, I was the guy. Nashville had a flood in 2010 and I filled in for a couple places because of the flood. And then there was a specific band that recommended that I work at the blues bar. And I started working there and was on an analog Soundcraft with some analog BSS graphic EQs and like, good luck, kid. And I walked in the first day and I was like, oh, I'll go early. I'll go 2 hours early, just kind of just assess where everything is. And then I realized that most of the EQs were not inserted on anything and on any of the outputs. And I was like, oh, let's actually like make this happen. Use those. And the vocals are right there in front of the wedges, and the wedges are hitting a mirror behind you. So hard surfaces, like it was not a fun first day walking in and going, oh crap.
Oh man. Yeah. That is a really difficult room. What David was kind of describing was the monitors are strapped to the front of the balcony and they are directly in the musicians' faces.
Yeah.
And there is a gigantic mirror behind that stage. It's not an easy room. And the stage it's one of those, the building is one of those long, you know, kind of older downtown sort of buildings where you'd think they'd put the stage at the end of the building, but it's on the side facing the wall 50 feet away. It is a tricky room.
I'm just still trying to picture and understand this mirror, because like, who wants to look at the drummer's butt crack the whole shit?
It is super useful. No. David. I do.
Sometimes it's not always the drummer, is all I'm gonna say.
You can't see the downstage. You can't see anything but the drummer from front of house. So from that mirror actually shows you, like, if you're looking, you can see who's taking a guitar solo. And like, I watched that mirror all night. It's actually really useful.
All right. It does. I'll give it to you.
Like a bitch, though. Like, it's just.
But I think the second week that I worked there, I figured out that there was a faulty microphone that like the mic had stopped giving me anything below 400 roughly hertz.
Copy, throw it on the hi-hat, done.
Well, except it was on the drummer's vocal and he kept yelling at me. Not ideal. So, no. But through the course of working there for the last 13 years, or most of the last 13 years, I've really grown my chops and really gotten a handle on night to night, you know, all the same gear, different humans, and how I relate to the humans, and also, you know, called musicians and stuff, but all, like, getting used to that and make, you know, really tuning myself and that room to what I want it to be. So, and then eventually they got an X32, like every relatively small club did for the last like 10 years. And so it's been a blast doing it. But I can't quit it. It's when I'm home and there's nothing better to do, man, let me go work at the blues bar. It's a lot of fun. So
and like how much of it is like repeat bands that cycle through, and how much of it is like bands you see come in and then like don't see for months?
So 4 nights of the week are scheduled the same people all the time. 3 nights, there's the same band. Sunday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, it is the same band. on all three of those nights every week. The Monday night is a blues jam where
that's someone Katie was telling us about. A couple episodes ago.
Yeah, if you want to play, you sign up on the list and you get to play, which makes for some very fun times. all the musicians that want to play all of their notes that they know.
You gotta hang on to them and parcel them out bit by bit. You can't just like pfft them all at once.
Well, you should sometimes let them know that.
Well, it's left on the list, but yeah. I will say the MC is really good. He knows the musicians who come up there very well, and so he actually does take those things into account. He'll put somebody really strong on the stage if he has to use some people he doesn't know.
Yeah, for sure.
A well-placed ringer.
For sure. But then Tuesday, Friday, and Saturdays are all days that it's a rotation of sorts, but it's not like monthly or every couple months different bands will play. So it just kind of changes. But those are a little bit more diverse in what band you might actually see night.
So outside of the jam, it's not entirely like run and gun every day. I have no idea what's coming in. Like,
you know what to expect, and you know, month. Probably every month, you kind of know what to expect that day anyway.
Yeah. Well, so. And our production manager, Sean Connolly, who I toured with, which is how I started working there, is he's an excellent production manager. There is a
so great
binder with these laminated sheets that have everybody's input list and stage plot for every band that plays there. If I'm ever up there and I don't know anything about the band, I can grab that binder and know where everybody goes on the stage and how the board is patched before I ever switch scenes.
Oh, hang on to that guy.
Two seconds to figure out my patch when I start putting a band up. So having that resource is amazing. And a lot of times David or Sean will be there with me when I'm dealing with a band I haven't seen before, which is another great thing from having kind of the same bands all of the time.
Yeah, just yell at the bands. I mean, what? No. No, all the bands are pretty great at this point, and Sean is so wonderful. I also think I might have heard that those wedges might not be strapped up there anymore. Something might change soon, but...
We're getting a new PA very soon, which is good because we're mixing on 20-year-old PBs, point sources.
They're not 20 years old. I helped put some of those they're SB2s, PB SB2s, but I helped put some of those up 12, 13 years ago. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, like, well, they've 20 something years in metric years.
Yeah.
And having Nashville bands play through them 7 days a week.
Over 12 hours a day, every day for the last 12 years.
I'd be pretty beat too.
Yeah. For sure.
They're old. It's nice though that you have like a home that you can go to for, to mix when you're home.
I love it. I love that even though Sean's... Because I had kind of been the managing sound guy there at one point. And then it was frustrating when engineers would call and say they couldn't find a ride into work. And while I was I was on the phone with them while I was actively mixing a show in Texas. Like, this is not good for my mental health. Let me not worry about this kind of thing. And Sean has been so wonderful and just like, come in, mix a couple days, and then don't worry about it. I got it. And yeah, he's been absolutely great.
Here's to all the Seans.
Yeah.
All the Seans.
We love our Seans.
I do. I often say I have two Seans.
Oh.
And I'll say, oh, not that Sean, my other Sean. So the Weekend Warrior thing. Let's you go out with Tanya and come home and mess around at our fun little blues spot. Is that what you were always going for? Did you have the aspiration to just be at the club all of the time? No. Did you have the aspiration to go on the road all the time?
I mean, I thought about it. Like I do for some crazy reason enjoy the road. There are moments where I wouldn't be opposed to being out more, doing more shows than just most weekends. But at the same time, it's kind of nice to like remember home and what it feels like to be, you know, be at the bar. I've never thought that I actually would walk away from the blues bar at this point. So it's just a part of me.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely comes through. People ask about you all the time when I'm sitting up there. They're like, oh, where's David tonight? And I'm like, well, he's not here, obviously.
Wasn't my turn to watch him.
He's causing trouble in some other state.
He's far away.
Sometimes the state of confusion.
No. Everybody up there has so many amazing things to say about you.
Well, don't believe any of them, or at least most of them.
I didn't. And then, you know, you prove them out or whatever.
Well.
Dude, that's awesome. So you mentioned that you your first gig with Tanya was at the Ryman Auditorium, which if our listeners aren't familiar, as you said, is like one of the
mother church of country music.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah.
Thankfully the house systems guy was super wonderful, and shout out to Tim. He was just absolutely a delight to like, hey, no, you're good. You're doing right. And like okay. This is, you know, no pressure coming to one of the, you know, and right at showtime, I'm just thinking, how many engineers are in here judging me, or musicians are in here judging me?
No pressure.
For my first official gig as the guy. It's like, no. So hopefully I didn't let too many people down, but here we are.
I was gonna say, 5 months later, still here,
I'm loving
it.
Yeah, I'm loving it. So
right on.
Yeah.
Dude, I haven't felt any pressure like that you're describing ever in my life.
Not like a speaker demo at an industry event or anything.
Yeah, there's nothing.
There was a half second a couple of years ago where I almost got teased with mixing a NAMM showcase for a microphone manufacturer, and it would have been really cool, but I'm also sort of really relieved it did not happen.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Also, I could see that.
The second weekend working for Tanya was doing her 20-minute spot for CMA Fest in Nashville at the Nissan Stadium. Definitely my first stadium experience mixing, which was
really
quite a wild ride.
Damn, they just dropped you into the deep end.
Yeah, no floaties either. So, but it was a blast. It was really cool. So,
well, my question was going to be, what kind of like other incredible stuff have you done for Tanya? Because I mean, I know you were out at ACL last weekend.
Yeah, no, we did both weekends of ACL.
Define ACL for the Yankee.
Austin City Limits.
I'm vaguely familiar with the TV series.
Right. Well, and we also did that a couple months before. We had done Austin City Limits taping at the Moody Theater in downtown Austin. So we filmed that like couple months ago, and then came back for the music festival, and that was a blast.
Is that a thing? Like, do they normally like book those together, or are they like two totally separate but related entities? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm happy that we got to do both of them, but I'm not 100% sure if that is the norm.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was so much fun, and then having a boss that is a legend and knows other legends. The first weekend, we got to hang out backstage for Shania Twain's show. Oh my gosh, it was so amazing.
Nice.
So yeah.
So like with the TV show of that, like how does that split? Like you're presumably mixing front of house, and then is there a separate split for the broadcast, or do they take a mix or stems from you, or how does that work there?
Yeah, I think they had another analog split in there. So I was just mixing front of house for the room. They had another split that was going off
right
for the record and broadcast.
I was saying, do those broadcast live at all? They're all straight to record and then broadcast later.
I'm pretty sure it's all record and
right on.
Maybe touch up a little bit, but and then broadcast later. Because I think it might be out now. I actually need to look that up and find out.
We should find out, and if it is out and it's streaming, we'll try and put a link.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. So, what's a typical weekend like with Tanya? Is it always legendary venues and legendary TV shows with your country legend, or do you guys ever play state fairs
or so
casinos?
We've done casinos. We've done like county, like bigger county fairs. Done a little bit of everything. Sometimes it's a kind of a throw and go, no sound check necessarily. That's kind of what ACL was for the music festival. Sometimes it's just us, and all day we get to prep and have a nice proper sound check. And about half the time she'll actually come out to sound check just because she's got other things to do. And I don't know what she's doing. It's above my pay grade to know. But so she gets to do her thing and then comes and rocks out the show. She's still got an amazing voice. Nice. For doing it as long as she has.
Because I'm trying to look to see if it's streaming anywhere, and I'm just finding photos from the festival a couple of weeks ago, and like just like on these still photos, I gotta watch the show because like in still photos she seems freaking amazing.
Oh man, she's awesome. She's a badass.
Yeah, I was gonna say she's got like just the energy like coming out of all these photos I'm finding her. Like that seems like a blast.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. Let's do another awkward pause.
Do-do-do-do-do.
What awkward pauses? What are you talking about? There were no awkward pauses.
They're only awkward if you make them awkward.
Well, I like story of my life. Of awkward pauses.
Oh, this is wonderful.
It's real. It's really signal to noise now.
And this week on Noise to Signal.
This week on Signal to Noise, something new. It's noise.
Of crickets. let's get back on the rails.
I have the perfect question for starting to wrap up, which is... David, is there any advice that you give to people who are just starting out, or anything that you wish you had known or would go back and tell yourself if you could?
Ooh. You should tell me that you're going to ask a question before you ask the question.
What's the fun in that?
I mean, so much of it for me, because like a week and a half ago, I was helping a guy at a brand new bar around the corner from our blues bar, who was primarily a guitar player that like was sort of partial to audio. But having the right attitude, coming at something with the right attitude and being willing to learn will get you so many more places than... Like, always not knowing that there's more to learn and being open to it versus thinking I know it all. Because as much as I have learned and keep on learning daily, there's more. And listening to everybody on this podcast, listening to, just hanging out with other audio engineers that I... know and respect and learning from them. It's just, there's always more to learn, and being open to that, not being too uppity, too proud to think that I know all the things. Nah, teach me. Being happy to learn from anybody. So that's kind of what I was telling the kid that I helped a week and a half ago, something like that. So he's been texting me back and forth. Actually, I think he just texted me.
So stemming off that a little bit, I know on the Signal Noise Facebook group a couple of weeks ago, Dan Gable had posted about having a conversation with another engineer about mistakes they'd learned from. And if you're willing to let us behind the curtain, would you share like one mistake you've learned a lesson from? Doesn't have to be recent.
Yeah. I think as soon as you said it, I knew the exact one. I actually can think of two. We had done a run in Canada with Tanya, and during sound check, I had selected in the matrix on my Quantum, I had selected the left right sub and also added turning up a talkback to my little squawk. But I had forgotten to deselect the left, right, and sub. And so I'm turning up, and that's not very forgiving when you're turning up the sends to your left, right, and sub matrices during sound check. And the band was very forgiving and like, oh, you know, it's fine. Don't do it again. But like, yeah. Like, what was that? I'm like, yeah, I'm an idiot. Gotta deselect left, right, and sub on that one. But they were super great about it. Yeah, well, you know, doing silly things sometimes. Yeah. And then the other, when I worked for Little Texas, I was the all around, I was the production manager, I was front of house, I was monitor guy by way of iPad, I was guitar tech, sometimes I was, you know, babysitter. And we had had a channel go out in my downstage Snake, and I had swapped it to a different channel and moved it on the monitor end side of my analog split, but I did not change it on the front of house side. So when I got to front of house, we started out the show in front of 10, 12,000 people opening up Little Texas, opening up for, not Toby Keith. Honky Tonk. What is Honky Tonk? Honky Tonk Badonkadonk? Is that the name of the song? Trace Atkins. We were opening up for Trace Atkins, and the first entire song, I have no lead vocal. And the crowd all is like, hey, we can't hear you. Just you. Everybody else we can hear, we can't. And so they're like, David? Like the other guys are talking in the mic, you know, probably making fun of me to the crowd. And I'm, you know, yelling to the house guys to talk over radio. Hey, can you please swap this channel, you know, the right split channel, Snake? And it was not my favorite day to forget a channel in front of 10 or 12,000 at a shed. Yeah.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, at least any less alone, about a month ago on one of the events I was doing, we had Laurie Anderson performing, and it took about 2 minutes into her, like, you know, 10-minute performance piece for me to figure out what weird matrix send way deep down had muted basically the entire PA. So all we were hearing was her wedges for what felt like an eternity. And then she was very gracious. And once she heard it kick back in, was like, y'all want me to start over? Should we start over? Or do you want me to keep going from where I was? And everybody was like, yeah, just start over. And she did. And I shrunk behind the console. And yeah.
Well, I'm not going to tell my two most embarrassing stories this time. You'll have to wait for a different episode. But a couple of days ago,
put me in the industry, call it tease.
Lots of people have called me that, dude. So a couple of days ago, I was mixing a band I had never mixed before, and they have this older gentleman vocalist, and it's all very Nashville. The band gets on and plays a song, and then this lead singer comes in and joins them after they get into the groove. And we had something going something with the scene needed to be repatched. And so Sean went upstairs and did that for me, which was lovely of him. And I had checked all the monitors and I had checked all the lines and everything was working. And I even had all of the mute groups unmuted and everything was working. And so I started the show, and this old elder statesman of a lead singer comes out in his like purple suit to the middle of the stage and has the crowd going and is dancing and walks up to the microphone and sings and nothing comes out.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
His front of house and his monitor vocal channels weren't in the mute group. They weren't in the vocal mute group, so they were still muted.
Whoops.
It took me about 2 seconds to find it, but it was like just the longest 2 seconds.
It's like Einstein's theory of relativity analogy that two seconds touching a hot stove feels like an hour, but an hour kissing a beautiful woman feels like 2 seconds.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's I have heard that before.
Yeah.
Well, David, you are a wonderful guest. I feel like I could talk to you for hours because I literally have.
That's
and
true.
I probably will continue to talk to you for hours at a time. But
we do enjoy nerding out about the audio things.
Right?
We do. Like
that's what we all do. And it's awesome meeting you, like hearing so much about you and the stuff you've been piping in on the Discord, which, by the way, if folks aren't already members, they should join the Discord. There's a link to an invite in the show notes, as there is every week.
Ooh. Yes. Yeah.
That's and what we in the industry also, call a segue.
Yes. The link to the Discord is also on our Facebook and anywhere you listen to podcasts, and also on our official site at prosoundweb.com, which is a really, really cool website. That if you don't already go there and read it, are you really an audio engineer?
Really? It's the news you can use. I think somebody has that trademark though. Also, we don't say it enough, but if you do listen and you don't subscribe, and whether it's Apple Music, Overcast, but whatever your podcast player is, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And if you leave us a review, that totally helps. And we should say that more often.
Do it.
Yes, please subscribe. So I think this has been another fantastic episode of Signal to Noise. Ooh, Andy, look what I found. Look what I found.
That's one less edit we have to do later.
I am so happy about that. I have no idea if it'll export, but...
Dum-dum.
Dum-dum, you just called my name. What?